Welcome everyone to the Rank Podcast, episode 35. Puff, anyone at number 35? Now Stoff today actually sent some players.
Well, that's the thing. He did. So I will cheat off Stoff's list and go with, I'm going to go with Andy Moog.
35. Who is Andy Edmonton Moog? Oilers. Who did he play for? Oilers.
He played for the Oilers. So in the 80s, Grant Fuhr and Andy Moog were the tandem behind all those Stanley Cups. And then Billy Ranford came in a little bit later. But Andy Moog was like the quintessential backup goalie. Like, he could make a save. He could win you a game. But, I mean, Grant Fuhr was their number one. But Andy Moog, a great number two.
Well, that's good.
Kind of like you Everyone. And me. We're like the Moog and Fuhr of the
Who's
podcast.
Who's one? You're one. I'm Moog. You're
no, we can't say who one is. Yeah. That, but whoever's Andy Moog is doing a bang-up job.
Agreed. And same with Grant. And actually, Grant Fuhr, as a kid who didn't really watch a lot of hockey. But he was one of the only Grants, I think I talked about this, that I ever knew growing up. Yeah. I always thought I had Grant's kind of one of those names that's common but not, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And so when you find another Grant, it's not all that common, but having a famous Grant Fuhr was like a little, connection. So there you go. I like it. So
the famous one for me was one of the characters on Degrassi, the TV show. His name was Sean Cameron.
Oh, you got the full name.
The full name. And I used to get when Twitter started or whatever, people would message me. Are you the from Degrassi? I'm like, that's not a real person. Like,
oh, they were not checking smart. The character.
The character, like he's online. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Oh, that's too funny. Yeah, I've never even actually met another Caton unless it's been in my family, to be honest with you. So
yeah, I don't know if I've met another Caton.
Yeah. Anyway, that's why I go by GCAT. Try to find another GCAT out there. G-Cat. So busy week. Cool. We'll let everyone else be the judge of that. But the week, I'm gonna, Puffy, we're recording this on a Wednesday.
Yes.
Last night we didn't record because I was at the rink for the last game of Aussie's season this year, where the Ted Reeve Thunder, the 09, U15 single A, we lost to North Toronto in four games. We tied and then lost three. And they dominated
the 4-5 matchup too.
Yeah. In the 4-5 matchup. So we're out. The team played really well. Both teams played really well, but it's a little sad. I'm a little disheartened, you know. I was really looking forward to going to the rink a bit more, but it's okay. I've already moved on. I'm feeling good about next season and a whole bunch of stuff. But yeah, we're out. And so now I'm exclusively Barrett Austin.
Well, I have some good news and some bad news on that front. The good news, Austin's U12 EastEnder Ticats AA team. We were in the preliminary round, and that was 7 through 10, top two advancing to the main round. And so we were the ninth seed, so we were not expected to advance on, but got hot, won their first two games, and we didn't even need to win the third. We lost the third, but we'd already clinched a spot in the main round robin draw. So we're heading on to that starting next week. No, maybe this weekend, Friday. We start Friday night. Nice. And for Barrett's team, U14 AA, they won their series against the Ted Reeve Thunder. We finished it off on Monday night, maybe. I can't remember. The days are all blurring together. Some bad news there, and I just spent the morning at Michael Garron Hospital. Barrett injured himself in game two of the series. On a hit, and he tried to tough it out the last couple of days, tried to see if he could practice with the wrist injury. We decided to get x-rays this morning, and they turned out he has a broken wrist, guess, or a broken bone in the body. So he has got a cast on his arm. There was many tears this morning, but Barrett managed to console me, and I bucked.
Console you. Good. I like that. Yeah. That was funny.
So, he was pretty down, but, 3 to 4 weeks they're saying, but hopefully Ticats, we got a good team. We're going to go on a run. So hopefully the season is not over for him.
But okay. So a couple things. First of all, he went a couple days with a broken wrist. That's that's crazy. That's pretty tough guy move right there.
Yeah, he. We were hoping it was just a sprain.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But it turned out to be a break. Now, I'd like to give a shout out to a member of the 09 Don Mills Mustangs, Evan Stills, who broke his foot and played two games with a broken foot. And then x-rays showed that there was actual break in it. So he's in a walking boot.
Oh, my gosh.
So he's out for a little bit, too.
Oh, no.
So hopefully hopefully his team goes on a bit of a run. Now that your guys are out, we can cheer for
we can cheer for Sills, yeah, and the Mustangs. And
hopefully he gets back on the ice this season, too.
For sure. For sure. Anyway, similar household. My son, Max, he broke his wrist a week and a half ago, too. So Barrett and Max can hang out with their cast now. So,
but the thing is, I was laughing at Max, too. No.
I know.
Like you loser. No, I was saying he looks like Cowboy Bob Orton from the 80s.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Both of them have the half mask cast. That's great.
So I guess I wanted to talk to you a bit about this because, as we finish the season, people like generally run to the question, what are you doing next year? That question is hot everywhere, obviously. We're mm-hmm. pretty like stable where we just answer like we hope to stay here. That's our general answer. But a lot of people don't, right? A lot of people have plans. And then we've talked about birthday skates. We talked whether we like it. We talked about people like other coaches watching games and stuff. So I guess I just wanted to have a little chat. This episode will drop when this stuff's really going on in the thick of it. Probably some teams are trying to finish off their rosters. Is there any puffy counsel for the parents and kids listening about looking for teams right now?
Well, I mean, yeah, now that some of the teams' seasons have wrapped up, obviously you turn to next year. Finding your kid is the best spot for him. Find a good coach, find good group of kids, and a good parent group is also just as important. But it is tough. I mean, sometimes there's a situation when your teams are changing over their roster, and maybe there's not a spot for your kid, and you have to move on. And those are always tough when you're trying to find another spot. The best thing to do is to talk to as many people as you can and get a feel for the team that you're thinking about trying to join, because people are usually, some people obviously aren't always the best, but most people give you pretty honest answers and good feedback about if it was a good situation or not for them. And if you find the good situation for your kid, obviously try to stay there.
And getting in touch with if you're sort of a parent that doesn't know other teams and you don't know other people, like, how are you getting in touch? Are you starting with the coach? Are you just looking it up and reaching out via like socials? Like if you're totally, know no one on the team, but you have to move, how would you suggest someone does that?
The best way to do is pretty much all the organizations have websites and they'll have the coaches listed for next season already with either email addresses or phone numbers. Tanya, the amount of emails and phone calls she takes for both boys teams is crazy, but that is the best way to reach out. Give a little synopsis of your kid. If you have video, whether it's from Live Barn or stuff that you've already shot yourself, that does help. And if your season's over, it's a little tougher. If your season's on, definitely, let the coaches know the level, team, and the jersey number. That's big because sometimes the kids don't always have the same last name as the parents. And so if you don't know which kid you're looking at, it makes it tough. But, most coaches, if they're looking for players, will go out and watch your kid play or they'll host birthday skates. I mean, that's usually the two easiest ways for coaches to see kids before tryouts, because it is. I know the whole expectation is that kids go to tryouts and the coaches watch kids, but it literally is too hard for that system to work with the amount of teams in the GTHL and what would parents do? How would you decide? You'd be running around to seven different skates each night for a week. So, you sort of have to try to lock it down a little bit earlier than tryouts.
Okay. So good counsel. So go to the organization's website, find out who the coach, email the coach, send your number, some video, some detail about your kid. Don't be too long. Just good facts.
Yeah.
Now, being someone who had looked for teams in the past, we got ghosted. I'll be honest. You know, we got a couple coaches that didn't even respond. What do you think about, is that just etiquette in youth hockey? Like the, you know, if we don't hear from you, don't hear from you, like a job interview, or is the, an expectation for the coaches to reach out to everyone's even to say, hey, thanks for your email. Unfortunately, we don't have anything.
I do think the coaches, should reach out to the, should at least respond to parents as honest as you can. Cause sometimes you just don't have spots, especially, you know, especially if the better teams tend to have less opportunities. Now, sometimes better teams blow up and then there's tons of opportunities there.
Right.
I think coaches should respond to the parents and just say, listen, at this time we really don't have a spot for your kid. But if you don't hear anything back, I wouldn't necessarily, you could follow up, because sometimes junk mail happens. It's a real thing that emails can get lost, but I wouldn't pester people, because that'll end up obviously leaving a bad taste in the coach's mouth and they'll become less interested. Sure. But also it's important to be realistic about the level your kid should be playing at. You know, if you're, you know, playing on a mid-pack single A team and you're trying to get in touch with AAA coaches, they're probably less likely to have a look at your kid. And that doesn't even mean your kid, maybe your kid's good enough, but those are the kind of things that maybe if you're trying to go up a level or, you know, two levels, it'd be probably important to just try and figure out if there's skates that you can go to and check out.
Got it. Okay. Well, listen, I also, that's all good counsel. I don't personally like ghosting. I think honestly, you should respond to everybody. If you don't get a response back, I think it's okay to pester back once and say, hey, just wanted to follow up on this, because I think that's just human etiquette, not even youth hockey etiquette. You know, it's just, you should have a response. Sure. Don't you think?
For sure.
Okay, good. Next question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a kid right now who's maybe thinking about going into goalie. Been a player, has been asked to play goalie a couple times, does okay at goalie, not great, obviously, but shows signs that, like, okay, with some training, he doesn't, you know, his mind's maybe just like, yeah, it seems fun. Isn't really thinking about it like long term, because he's 7, 8 years old. Counsel. You got any more counsel on the goalie action?
Well, the thing is with the goaltending is, if it's hard to find good goaltending at it, especially at the younger ages, because I mean, there's very few kids that join hockey at a young age and immediately are taken with goaltending and are good at it. If your kid shows any signs of being good at goaltending, they're going to be like roped into it almost. Like, it's like, you're now a goalie, we need you to be goalie. So unless you as a parent and you know your kid for sure, this is what they want to do, I would steer clear of it, unless that's really, if they're pushing for it and you're like, yeah, goaltending's cool. Because you can get kind of trapped in it. And then all of a sudden the kid's 12 years old, 13 years old, and they don't really want to play goalie anymore. They're playing on a pretty high level team sometimes, you know, say they're playing single A or double A or triple A. And now they all of a sudden they want to be an out player, and they're clearly not going to be good enough to play out at that level. So now they're leaving their friends and their team, and they're going to have to go start over again.
Right.
Which isn't the end of the world. I mean, it's still like lots of kids do it, but I just think if you're going to let your kid be a goalie, make sure that's what you all want to do.
Right. It's a big decision in the career ahead. You don't really realize it.
Yeah, not even career, but yeah, like, and it's a hard position to be a parent as well.
Oh, because, yeah. That's gotta be the toughest position on the team, is the goalie's parents.
Yeah. Parents definitely have no problem blaming a goalie on their team for their own child's deficiencies, you know? So, you know, if you're, even if you're a great goalie, you have a bad game. Everyone has a bad game. When you're the right winger, you have a bad game. Not as many people notice. And so, it can be hard on you as a parent. But it's also can be really fun and rewarding. It'd be awesome, you know, too.
And so, look at Grant Fuhr. His parents made the decision. Look at him.
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful. But goalies are also always a little bit weird.
Right. They're kind of like the drummer of the band.
Yeah, they're the drummer of the band. So
I think Clive
could be good.
Right.
But
I think Clive could be good. And he's kind of got a drummer mentality a bit. You know, he's a little crazy.
Yeah. That's a wild card.
Yeah. But, you know, for me as a parent, like, I think it's fine. Like, I actually would be fine with it. The thing that I don't like about it is, like, you play every other game and you're not getting the same endurance kind of workout. That's, like, the one thing for me where, like, great, we need the position. Actually, to me, it kind of, like, reminds me of, like, a bass player in a band, which is, like, mm-hmm. no one really grows up saying I'm going to be a bass player. So when you're a bass player, you get to pick the band you're in. When you're a guitar player, you have to try to make the best band to get into. You know what I mean? So for less competition, sort of, like, in terms of like ability to go up and more competitive if they wanted to or not, it doesn't really matter. But you know, the pool is smaller in a way. But to me, it's the physical activity. It's the, like, are they getting the same workouts? And then you have to do all the goalie training and stuff. All of a sudden it feels real heavy that you're not getting the same amount of, you know, whatever. That's a trade-off, I think, a bit.
For sure. But then, you know, Clive, he'll just do it on his own.
Oh yeah. He'll be
hills.
Yeah.
Trampoline.
Yeah, oh sure.
Monkey bars.
Yeah. As I pick him up off his bed on my back while he holds an iPad down the stairs, you know. So yeah.
Now you also have to factor in the cost of being a goaltender.
Well, do you get freebies as a goalie? Like, do you get it? They do
in the NHL. You'll get it in the house league.
Yeah.
And then the NHL. Those are the two spots.
Otherwise, you're paying the same.
Otherwise, it's you're paying big bucks.
Yeah, you're paying the same big bucks. There's no discount for the goalie?
No.
No. What about Unless beer league?
You're really good, maybe they pay. Beer league, that's the thing. Once he becomes an adult,
you get paid.
Joins beer league, I think they play for free.
No, I also
think they get paid. And you get to play way more.
I saw a sign at Ted Reeve the other day that said, goalie for rent, $60 a game. You need a goalie?
Yeah, I'll you come can play make your money doing it for sure.
Yeah, guy's making $60 an hour just playing hockey.
Exactly. Yeah. Clive could be the Zamboni driver and a rent for goalie.
I love it. There, I love it. And yeah. So anyway, well, listen, Puff, we've said a lot out of the gate, lots of good topics, but you know, the hot topic of the time right now is the playoffs. And yes. I think everyone would love to hear an update of where we are on this week, where we are with the playoffs this year.
Well, the playoffs definitely are in full swing. Lots of great storylines. Let's start in U10 AAA. The preliminary round saw the first upset of the playoffs as the 10th place North York Rangers advanced to the round robin playoffs portion with a 3-1-1 preliminary round robin record. Big win, 5-3 win over the 8th place Mississauga Rebels was the difference. The 7th place Toronto Titans also advanced to the main round robin, which is underway already with JRC leading the way with a 2-0 record. Now, U10 AA, I actually have to make a correction. Last week, I talked about the North York Knights team having only one win all year, and then they had won in the preliminary round. So I was like, oh, great job by those kids. They, in fact, had lots of wins this season, but due to what happened was there was at least two North Toronto teams in CDS the year before, and the top CDS North Toronto team became the North Toronto AA team. And I guess the second North Toronto team also wanted to play AA. And so they went to North York. And as far as I know, the coaches went to get releases. Maybe it wasn't all done properly because North Toronto organization complained, appealed, and I guess the decision came down at the end of the year, and North York was stripped of all their wins all season.
Oh my god!
So that's why they only had one win in the record books.
What does that even mean? Stripped? So all the wins that happened went as losses.
Yeah. And so thankfully it's at an age where all the teams made the playoffs, and I'm happy to report that the North York Knights did make it through. They had a perfect 3-0 record in the preliminary round, and they advanced along with the Toronto Arrows to the main playoff round.
Right. So it doesn't really matter.
I mean, so it didn't matter as far as
it was,
maybe that's why a kangaroo the court made that decision.
It was like a kangaroo court answer. It was just like, yeah, we'll take away your wins, but you're still in playoffs and you still could win the whole thing.
Yeah, it feels like if you commit a crime and you go to jail and you're pre-trial, you're in jail, but then the sentencing comes out and it's less than or the same amount of time as your pre-trial. So you don't actually get
it. It feels more like you do a crime, you go to jail, but you don't really go to jail. You just go home.
Yeah, like they got punished, but no one was really hurt. Although I did hear, this is my sources telling me, that I think the coach is suspended for 3 years, which seems pretty aggressive.
Yeah, well.
So I guess you have to be all above board. They take it seriously.
Youth Hockey Canada, that's a Venn diagram. We're right in the center. It says serious.
And I'm sure there's reasons why they have these rules. But in this particular case, I just don't understand why they would do okay. Really, it's like the coach wants to coach a double-A team. North Toronto's full. Why can't he go to these kids have to play for North Toronto single-A?
Yeah. But I mean, we don't know.
We shouldn't be chasing good parents out, you know.
Yeah. But so, we don't know. Maybe, we don't know. Maybe. Thing, yeah. But sure. Yeah. I hear what you're saying, and I agree. Tend to agree. All right. Well, we'll see how that unfolds over the year.
Yes. In the main draw, the round robin in U10 AA, which is going underway, a bit of a surprise in one of the opening games. Ted Reeve Thunder, who's been one of the best teams in the U10 AA all year, tied West Hill. Now, Ted Reeve finished 15 points ahead of West Hill in the regular season. Now, of note in this game, there was a fight. We were we had a game right after them, so we were watching this game. Punches were thrown. It was at Don Mills Arena. Don Mills Arena seems to have had lots of fights there this season. But it was nobody seemed to be kicked out or anything. It was
U10
2 minute penalty, and they just kept playing. U10. It was like three kids involved. It was a bit of a little scene. Now out west, U10 AA, 7th place Toronto Eagles and the 8th place Mississauga North Stars advanced out of the preliminary round and will look to make some noise in the 1-8 round of the playoffs. U10 single A saw the Port Credit Storm and West Mall Lightning advance to the main round robin, while in the east, 7th place York Mills looks like it'll be missing out on the round robin portion after losing to 8th place North Toronto, and 9th place Toronto Arrows are also looking good to go through. U11 AAA, the 7th place Mississauga Rebels are 4-0 and need 1 point to clinch a top spot in the preliminary round, while the Don Mills Flyers need to win the last two games to secure second spot in the main round robin. Surprise in the main round robin, which is already underway, saw the top seed Toronto Marlboros fall to the 3rd seed Toronto Young Nats 3-1 last Sunday at Westwood. U11 AA saw the top two teams in the East meet in game one of the round robin, with the top seed EastEnders beating Leaside 6-4. Leaside was actually winning that game 3-2, and EastEnders came back. Out west, 14 teams meant an 8-team preliminary round robin that saw the Mississauga North Stars and Humber Valley Sharks advance with perfect 3-0 records. Humber Valley upset the Navan Rangers 3-0 to advance, while with the Rangers finishing 15 points ahead of the Sharks in the regular season. So nice to see a little bit of upsets happening. U11 single A preliminary round in the east was made up of 8 teams, with the two highest seeded teams Ted Reeve and Leaside Flames Gold advancing to the main round robin. Out west, 2 Mississauga Hockey League teams, the Applewood Coyotes and Heartland Dragons, outlasted the Duffield Devils to make it into the main round robin pool. U12 AAA preliminary round has a 4-way tie for top spot with Don Mills Flyers, the Mississauga Senators, Markham Majors, and Toronto Red Wings all tied. Don Mills plays Markham on Friday, while the Senators play the Red Wings Saturday. The winners of those games will move on to the round robin portion, while the losers will be out. If there is ties, I have no idea what's going to happen. There will be lots of tiebreakers and math and stuff, and I did not figure that out. U12 preliminary round in the east saw the 8 seed Forest Hill, and our ninth seeded EastEnders advanced to the round robin. Well done, boys.
Nice.
Early surprise in the main round robin draw in the East saw the sixth seed Scarborough Ice Raiders, who we play on Friday night. They beat the top seed Ted Reeve Thunder 3-1 on Sunday. Out West, Streetsville and the Toronto Eagles advanced to the main draw. Top seed Faustina Toros are off to a 2-0 start. U12 single A in the East, just eight teams, so straight into the main round robin. Early surprise, the 8-seed Toronto Arrows sit on top of the standings after beating North Toronto in their opener 3-2 at Bayview Arena on Tuesday night. Out West, just six teams in the loop and just one game played thus far. The second seed, with a statement 8-1 win over the third-seeded Humber Valley at Pine Point last Thursday. U13 AAA, no preliminary round at U13, so right to the round robin format. And the surprise undefeated team thus far, the 8-seed Don Mills Flyers, sit top of the standings with a perfect 3-0 record. U13 AA in the East, the third seed and two-time defending city champs in the 2011 age group. The EastEnders are off to a 3-0 start, including a 2-1 win over the top seed Forest Hill at Scarborough Village on Sunday. At West, the top seed Duffield Devils are a perfect 3-0, but hot on their heels is the seventh seed Vaughan Panthers, who have won 5 of 6 points through 3 games. U13 single A in the East, only the second seed Leaside Flames have a perfect record, winning both of their games so far. Surprise team is the fifth seed North Toronto with 5 of 6 points, including a 1-1 tie with the third seed Ted Reeve Thunder on Sunday at Fenside. Out West, the top seed Avalanche are perfect 3-0, with the second seed West Mall Lightning hot on their heels, 2 points back with a game in hand.
U14.
Okay, so now we're at U14, and if you remember last week, GCAT, on yes. the AAAs for U14, U15, and U16, yes. we did bets. We made picks.
Right. I don't know so what we're gonna we save bet, that. But we made picks. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to save that till the end, so I'm only going to do the AA and single A notes for this few next rounds.
Okay.
So we'll go to U14 AA. In the East, the top seed Scarborough Young Bruins, second seed EastEnders, and third seed North York Knights all advanced to the East semis with series sweeps. The lone remaining series is the fifth seed West Hill. They took a 5-3 lead on the fourth seed Forest Hill with a 4-0 win Tuesday night at Scarborough Centennial.
Nice.
Game 5, I believe, will go Thursday. And if that one is won by Forest Hill, they'll have to go to a sixth game.
Yes.
Out West, top seed Vaughan Rangers and the third seed Vaughan Panthers advance to the West semis. The surprise series so far is the second seed Mississauga Rattlers are tied 4 points apiece with the Faustina Toros.
Huh.
U14 single A in the East, the second seed Forest Hill, third seed Toronto Arrows, and fourth seed Scarborough Ice Raiders have all advanced. The lone remaining series, the top seed Vaughan East Rangers East, is tied 4 points apiece with York Mills after losing 4-1 on Tuesday night. Wow, that'd be a big upset. Out West, the semis are set with the top seed Eagles facing the fifth seed Avs and the second seed Sharks facing the third seed Toronto Attack. Now, U15 AA in the East sees the semis top seed Ted Reeve Thunder. They'll face the fourth seed Scarborough Ice Raiders, while the second seed Leaside Flames will face the third seed Toronto Arrows. Out West, the top seed Vaughan Panthers, second seed Vaughan Rangers, and fifth seed Mississauga North Stars have all advanced to the West semis. The lone remaining semifinal spot will have to wait until after the sixth seed Mississauga Beast forced a game 6 on Tuesday night. Nice. U15 single A. In the East, the semifinals are set. The second seed, Don Mills Mustangs, facing the third seed, Avenue Road Ducks, while the top seed, Forest Hill, will face the fourth seed, North Toronto, who beat your Ted Reeve Thunder 7-1.
Yeah.
At West, the Rangers, Capitals, and Avalanche have all advanced, while the fifth seed, Eagles, lead the fourth seed, Wolverines, 5-3.
You 16!
And U16 AA. In the East, the semis are almost set. The fourth seed, Ted Reeve Thunder, beat the fifth seed, Leaside Flames, in three games to now face the top seed, Knights, while the third seed, Forest Hill, leads the sixth seed, North Toronto, 5-3. Winner will face the second seed, Toronto Arrows. At West, only the fourth seed, Mississauga Jets, have advanced to the semis. The second seed, Vaughan Rangers, are on the ropes, down 5-3 to the Wolverines. And okay. Finally, U16 single A. In the East, only the second seed Markham Islanders have advanced to the semifinals. The top seed North Toronto is tied 4 points all with the eight seed Avenue Road Ducks. While at West, the fifth seed Sharks beat the fourth seed Vaughan Rangers to advance to the semis to play the Vaughan Panthers. The sixth seed Avalanche are up 5-3 on the third seed West Mall Lightning. And the series winner will face the Toronto Eagles. So
nice.
We should probably bring in our main man, Stoff, to help us navigate these wagers. Stoff knows a good gambling segment when he sees
nice.
Oh, absolutely. Pleasure to join you, gentlemen.
Yes, it's nice to have you on, Stoff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Always been a dream of mine, and now I can cross it off the bucket list.
Yep.
Stoff is the man who makes this whole thing happen, everybody. Stoff is the magic power behind this whole podcast. So,
honored to do so.
GK and I would still be screwed.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how screwed you are with these bets here. We'll get to the bottom of who's leading after the first week. So, we'll start in U14 AAA. And the first matchup was, I believe, the Reps versus the Kings. And GCAT went with the Reps. Puffy, you took the Kings. What happened there?
That series went the distance, and the Vaughan Kings beat the Reps 6-4. Actually, 3-2 is how they do it at AAA.
Mm.
So that's one for this guy. I see.
So that's 1-0 Puffy. All right. Our next matchup, Puffy, you got Markham, and the GCAT has the Kings. What's going on there?
So the Kings actually won game one. Minor upset there, 4-1. So they lead 1-0 in that best of five series.
Nice. Ooh. Finally.
There you go. Next matchup in the U14 AAA, GCAT took the Junior Canadians. And Puffy, you got the Sens.
So another one for GCAT in game one, Canadians 8, the Senators 4. So that was a little bit of an upset too, because the Senators are the 2 seed. So GCAT's leading in both of this round.
But they're series of sixes, right? Still?
Yeah. So in AAA, they do best of 5 series. So all that means is they play overtime.
Got it. Understood.
Unlike the AA and single A. In the standings, they'll say 2-0.
Perfect. Okay, got it.
All right. So in the U14s, we got GCAT leading 2-1 right now, but those two series obviously yet to finish. We'll move on to U15 AAA. GCAT's got Don Mills, and Puffy, you got the Marlboros.
Not looking good for me. Don Mills, they're a juggernaut at this age. They're up 2-0. Game three Saturday, so they can close it out on Saturday.
Okay. In the next matchup, Puffy, you've got the Titans, and GCAT has JRC, so that's the Junior Canadians again. What's going on in that matchup?
I am looking good in this one. The Titans, the 2 seed, they're up to 2-0, so they can close it out Friday night. And if Don Mills and the Titans go through, it'll be a rematch of last year's U14 AAA final, which Don Mills won.
Very nice. Moving on to U16 AAA. Puffy, you've got the Vaughan Kings, and GCAT, you got the Titans in that one.
That was a 1-8 matchup, and the Vaughan Kings took care of business 3-0.
Okay, so that one's in the books.
Toronto Titans are gone.
Yep, that one's gone, yep.
Okay, right. So Puffy so far 2-0 in our official, like, the series that are finished. So
yeah,
taking a bit of a lead. Let's see what happens on this next one, though.
Listen, I plant seeds to watch it grow, okay? I don't try to plant a seed and pull it out the next day or stuff.
I have a feeling G-Cat bounces back in this next one. Let's see. He's got North York, and Puffy's got the Flyers there.
G-Cat does bounce back. North York, they finished that series off in 4 games, so they have advanced on to the next round.
Oh, there you go.
All right, so there we go. First win.
That's one in the G-Cat column there. Next matchup, Puffy, you took the Rebels. G-Cat's got JRC.
The JRC were the 4 seed, the Rebels were the 5, but the Rebels won that series 3-1.
Wow.
Upset. I put a lot riding on the JRCs here.
Mm. JRC went all in on the JRC franchise.
I did.
Alrighty. And this is our last matchup here. And that's Markham versus the Marlboros. G-Cat, you took Markham. Puffy, the Marlboros yet again. What do we got there?
Marlboros won it 3-0, so they advanced as well. So another win for the league.
That's looking. So he's up 4-1.
Yeah.
On the ones that we know that are that finished. But I believe you're leading 3-1 on the ones that are going on now.
The turning point. We'll see what next.
Now, have we done picks for the semis in that round?
Well, no, I just assume that.
I guess we probably wouldn't have. So should we do picks now?
Sure. And so U16 is the only one we can do picks in then.
Yes, the other one. Because the other ones we've either done.
So you keep your Vaughn Kings, and I'll keep my North York. And so then all we have to do is choose between Rebels and Marlboros.
No. But Vaughn Kings are playing the Rebels, so I get Vaughn Kings.
You get Vaughn
against Kings. You get the Rebels, and then you get North York, Rebels. And I get the Marlboros.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so you get. Okay. So that
North York and the Rebels. Yep. And you got Vaughn Kings.
So you have North York and the Rebels. I have Vaughn Kings and the Marlies.
Got it. All right. Well, we'll see where that goes. Okay. Stoff, thanks for making an appearance. The
suspense is killing me. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Great. Yeah. Well, the suspense.
If only we could put real money down.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. So what are we wagering on here, boys?
Yeah.
So like I threw it out last week in our meeting after bag skates, like just.
Maybe it should be a polar dip in the Lake Ontario.
Yeah, I like a polar dip in Lake Ontario.
PC.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
That as long as weird. I don't have to do it, I like it, boys.
Yeah, yeah. How about $20?
You can't gamble money on youth sports. Come on.
Oh, right.
It's got to be.
That's true.
Board.
All right, that's fine.
We'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll figure.
Okay, the Lake Ontario thing's in the running. Okay, we'll leave it for that. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, boys. See you next week.
All right, see ya. Great to have Stoff on. Love Stoff.
Great to have Stoff part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Champ. He's a champ. So lots going on. Great rounds. Yeah, we're coming to the end of it. So I don't know, like now that I'm out, I wrote to Martha and text. I'm like, now that they're out, I don't know what to do on my weeknights. You know, I've got a lot of time all of a sudden.
It's time to start watching some Ticat hockey.
Yeah, exactly. Got to get that going now. But Clive's still playing. Actually, Clive played at the Grossman the other day. And you know what I found out about the LG? You know what I found out?
What?
We were home, so we got the home dressing room. There's a whole secret nice dressing room in that arena. I don't know if you know that.
Really?
Yeah. We always seem to be right when you walk into that back to the right, you know, that corner.
Yes, that's where I've only been.
If you go over to the snack bar and go take like room 7, they have like, you know, locker type things all around, and it's big
spaces.
And there's like a center bench in the whole room. Yeah, there's a secret nice change room in the LG that I found with Clive this week because we were home for some reason playing Forest Hill at their arena, but we got that. And like a bunch of their parents, like, what? We're usually here. And we're like, you're down there this week.
Oh, yeah. Get down the dungeon.
Yeah. So that was good. So, the other thing that we were going to talk about, but maybe we save it for next time because I know we're going long, is like trades.
Yeah.
I want to have a conversation about trades. Because trade day is coming up in the NHL.
It is trade deadline Friday. Yeah, that's coming.
Yeah, and so that got us talking.
Stuff is happening though as we speak.
Yeah, because that got us talking about, like, should the G at certain age, maybe AAA, U14 plus, allow trades, you know, have a trade day. But, you know, with obvious rules of the parents' consent and stuff. So I don't want to get into it now because I know we're going to go late now. But I'm seeding that for our next conversation. I want to know, like, you know, it might be interesting. But anyway, I'd love to hear your take on it, but we'll tease that out.
It'd be great if anyone had feedback. Send us some feedback if they think trade should be allowed.
Yeah, if you have any thoughts on that, give us some thoughts on that. That's a good idea. Get some interaction with all the listeners, which is great. And, so anyway, it's been a good run. We had we had Dan on from BioSteel, you know, Joey on from Hockey Stick Man. We got a couple more interviews coming over the next couple of weeks. So those have been good. So people have really liked those. So thanks. But as we ask them, we ask each other, song of the week, pump up song of the week is what we're into now. So do you have one for us for this week? Episode 35.
I do go in the playoffs. I mean, a little tough break in our household with Barrett's injury, but there's always a positive to look for. And so mine is the Killers, Mr. Brightside. You always got to think good times great are tune. Around.
Yeah, great tune. That is, I think that's one of those songs that has a stat that it's been in the top 100 songs for ever since it's been released.
Really?
Like, it's never left the top 100. Like I think it has some crazy stat like that song. Okay, good. Well, you know me, I have a song too. I dance around in lots of different genres.
Yeah.
So I'm going back to my punk roots a bit on this one with a Canadian band called the Japandroids, who are out of Vancouver. They're a two-piece, very loud. Yep. You would never believe they're just a two-piece. They have a house. They have a song called "The House That Heaven Built," and it's just got that chant. It's like really fast but like powerful pop song with like some good sort of sing-along lyrics to it. It's a good pump up happy punk song with a great Canadian band called the Japandroids. One of my favorite. I've seen them in concert a few times and I highly suggest checking them out.
I saw them at Phoenix on like the last night of one of their tours. And the one guy could not sing. He was like fried. Like his voice was fried. But they were great. They're as you said, like a two piece makes a lot of noise. But they're great. Oh, yeah. Like
they're cool.
The crowd was fun concert. You know what song I keep hearing now? Oh, ever since you had it, I'm pretty sure you had it as one of your songs, is Talk Wasteland.
How great is that song?
And it's great tune.
It's such a good song. I hear it all the time now.
I love it.
Yeah. He's coming to the Danforth.
We should go.
I'll go with you.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go see Talk. Let's see if Stoff wants to come. Yes. Stoff can tell us afterwards. but yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, that's a great song. But anyway, so there you go. Song of the week. Japandroids, The Killers. Great conversation around goalie. Great conversation around finding a team. We got our bets in. We don't know what quite we're going to bet yet. We're thinking a dip into Lake Ontario. I'm just more fearful of maybe down Prince Edward County way I can jump in.
Down there. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But anyway, I just don't want to jump into Toronto Harbor. You know what I mean?
No. It's still dodgy.
I don't want to do that.
They say it's clean, but I don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe it. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. Episode 35, we appreciate it. We'll be back next week. Please review, listen, subscribe on all platforms, Spotify, Apple, YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. Send us notes, questions, anything. We love it. Thanks very much for listening. Take care and have a great week.